Once again, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to bring to you another portion of God's Word. I also want to thank Desmond. I don't remember ever singing that song number 8. If I did, it's been too long ago, but I appreciate leading that particular song. And I want to thank Jeff and Brian and Chris and others who contributed to our rich study in Revelations. And likewise, I'd like to express my appreciation for our teachers, for Angela and for Nevia. Oftentimes, they don't get the credit that they need. In 1970, a long time ago, I was assigned to the USS Vancouver out of San Diego. And our journey was across the sea to Westpac, to Japan, and then to Vietnam. And this was the first time I'd ever actually been aboard ship. And when you get out on the Pacific Ocean, it's vast. And to be honest, I was awed and at the same time terrified. I was not a good swimmer. In fact, I hadn't learned to swim until I got to the academy. Believe it or not. But as we go on, we encountered a typhoon, and so the captain decided to go along the outskirts. At the time, I was assigned to the signal bridge, which is a very high portion up there on the ship. And when you look out there, those big rolling waves and the storm, I was terrified. But I was also humbled and felt very insignificant at the power of God and the power of the weather that was there. Now, it also, besides being insignificant, being fearful, it also gave me a sense of awe and being very humble. Now, awe is that experience of being totally inspired and moved by a phenomenon that you've not been able to fully grasp, to fully articulate, or to fully comprehend. Usually resulting in a feeling of great humility and insignificance, while at the same time feeling great power as you live vicariously to that moment. Awe is a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. Some of the synonyms: wonder, amazing, wonderment, a strong feeling of fear or respect. And the Bible has many words that represent awe. It also represents dread and fear, reverence towards God. But awe also spurs our curiosity. Curiosity is the engine of intellect achievement. It's what drives us to keep learning, to keep trying, to keep pushing forward. When you consider that this world today is bombarded with information, for some there seems to be very few mysteries in life. Television, YouTube, social media, and the internet continue to provide us with all types of input. But there is so much to learn about all these amazing things in this universe. Amazing. That word amazed means to fill somebody with wonder or astonishment. When was the last time that you were truly amazed? Filled with wonder. When was the last time that you felt small and insignificant when confronted with something so amazing? Normally, we pay attention to what is happening in our own personal life. Wonder is the natural result of breaking out of self-absorbment of our lives and confronting the wonders of God and His creation. But here's the problem. I believe that many of us live day to day without any awe whatsoever. We live days, maybe even weeks or longer, without wonder and amazement. What should stun us doesn't stun us anymore. What should leave us in silent, amazed worship has become so familiar it barely gets our attention in the clutter of all the things in life that command our attention. We walk through each day without an overwhelming sense of awe or a sense of gratitude. We don't notice the glory displayed all around us that points to the one glory that is true glorious, the glory of God. You and I were created to live in the shadow of that awe. Every word we speak, every action we take, every decision we make, and every desire that we entertain are meant to be colored by awe. We are meant to live with our lives gazing upward. Abraham Lincoln once wrote, "I never behold the heavens filled with stars that I do not feel I am looking in the face of God. I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down on the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God." And I imagine what Abraham would have looked at had been on the space station and looked down on this earth. I think he could say the same thing. He could not look upon this beautiful world that we live in and not be convinced that there is a God. This is what probably inspired David to write in Psalms, the 8th chapter, if you'd like to look at that. And I have a lot of verses today because I think the Bible speaks more eloquently than I do. In Psalms, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the man, son of man, that you visit him?" How great is your God? Could you explain to someone what God means to you? Could you explain why you believe he not only exists, but that he is a great God? I'm not asking if you think you could convince someone to believe in God. I'm asking if you could tell someone why God means so much to you. Psalms 145 is all about this. Turn to Psalms 145. Here David has written a song of praise to God. In that song, he tells why he believes what he believes. Psalms 145, beginning at verse 5. "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." Our God is an awesome God, but we can't fully comprehend God's greatness. His greatness is unsearchable. Now, in that same chapter, verse 3, it says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." When you look at the old Hebrew with the words that are there, it basically means that we cannot understand all about God. We do not know or understand his ways. In Job, the 36th chapter, he said, "Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered." So Job 37, it says, "God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend." We only perceive the edges of his greatness. In Job, beginning in chapter 26 and verse 7, it says, "He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it." And in verse 14, he says, "Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small and whisper, a small whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" God's greatness is revealed. In Nehemiah, if you'd like to turn over there, chapter 9. In Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning verse 6. "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham." Creation, everything that we see, declares the greatness and the glory of God. Turn to Psalms 19. This is one of my favorite psalms. I'm only going to read a portion of it. Psalms, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night into night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run the race. He is rising in from one end of heaven and his circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Let's look at Psalms 104. Psalms 104, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariots, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundation of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In Psalms, the 33rd chapter, beginning at verse 9, it says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. God's dealing with man in history continues to prove his greatness. In Psalms 33:10, he says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Truly, God is great. Moses, speaking in the book of Deuteronomy, said, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I've often wondered about the Israelites who saw the miracles in Egypt, in the wilderness. Were they in awe? Perhaps, but they soon forgot. Do we do the same? How do we respond to God's greatness? Turn to Psalms 96. Psalms 96, beginning at verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in the sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O family of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Tremble before him, all the earth. With God and his greatness, we are to tell others. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We are to praise him in song, as we sang today. In Psalms 95, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, great above all gods. In your psalm books, turn to Psalm number 5. Go to Psalm number 5. There are many songs that talk about greatness, but this is one particularly. I'm not going to sing this, but I'm just going to read the first stanza. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I say to God to thee, how great thou art. I don't know about you, but that song brings amazing awe to me. We are to respect and to fear God. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 2, it says, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those who worship around him. So we are to worship him in holiness. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So as we respond to God's greatness, we need to learn his ways. Look at Psalms, the 86th chapter. Psalms 86, beginning at verse 1, and we'll skip around in this psalm. It says, bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Verse 3, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. There are any works like your works. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. We are to also recognize God when we call upon him in prayer. And Jeremiah says, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Curiosity and awe inspire us to action, inspire us to discover and to experience the satisfaction of uncovering the great mysteries about our lives and the way we can function within them. The question today is, what are you curious about? What amazes you? No matter how you attempt to describe God, our efforts are totally inadequate. Why is God awesome? In Psalms, the 33rd chapter says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouse. Not only does God create, but he sustains our universe. God, everything that we see, particularly here in springtime. And what do we see in springtime? Trees bloom, the flowers bloom, the grass turns green, the birds sing. All this is the creation of God. And it should amaze you that all these things that God has done for us, it reminds us of the greatness of God. In Hebrews, the first chapter, if you'd like to look there. Hebrews chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days, last days, spoken to us by a Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, and he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But man is so consumed with what he has accomplished that he fails to see what God has created. Turn with me to Job, the 38th chapter. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but this is an interesting chapter. The confrontation. Where God answers Job. Beginning of verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? And the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut the sea with doors when the first forth issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit on it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud ways must stop? I urge you to continue to read that book when you have opportunity. But God's basically speaking. because man really cannot understand how God has created all these things, how amazing he is. Our God is an amazing God. In Isaiah, the 46th chapter, if you'd like to turn over there. Isaiah 46, beginning in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Turning over to Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread it forth, the earth, and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. Everyone is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Chapter 45, verse 5, he says, I am the Lord, there is no other. There is no God beside me, and I will gird you, though you have not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Another song in our hymnal. We won't sing this, but I'll just read some of the verses here. Number 9. Our God, he is alive. Says, there is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heaven hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God. I'm always amazed and inspired by what God said to Moses, that burning bush. When he said, what is your name? He says, I am that I am. That wasn't a man that wrote that. That was God speaking to Moses. Our God provides salvation for mankind. Turn to John, the first chapter. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not recognize him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of his Father, full of grace and truth. Our God is a great God, an awesome God. He created you. I don't know if you've ever held a newborn baby. That process, the miracle of a child's birth, is truly a blessing. And it's something also to me that declares the glory of God. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In Job, it also says, when then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Fear not of Jacob, my servant, and you, Israel, whom I have chosen. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He has made mention of my name. Our God is an awesome God, and there is none like him. Nothing in creation is like him. Everything around us is flawed in some way. Nothing in creation can be compared to the glory of God. But sin has the power to make us blind to the glory of God. Sadly, the awe of God is quickly replaced by awe of you. It's a danger to everyone that we should live too impressed with us and not nearly in the kind of awe of God that should grip us. Now, when you consider God, but we also have to consider Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Amazement, astonishment, wonder, awe, these words are used to describe Jesus. His teachings were amazing. His miraculous power is amazing. His death and resurrection are amazing. There's no end to the amazing quality of Jesus. His virgin birth, leaving heaven and becoming Emmanuel, God with us. How when Jesus was only 12 years old, his level of understanding amazed the teachers in the temple courts. The transfiguration of the Mount of Olives. Jesus being tempted in every way, yet there was no sin. We need to be amazed and awed by Jesus, our Redeemer. The problem is that some people aren't amazed at all about him. Others may have been amazed at first, but over time, the amazing things about Jesus became old news and lost their impact. If you're here and you're not amazed by God or by Jesus, then we need to sit down and talk about our Redeemer, the Lamb of God. If you do not know Jesus, I hope that you have been reacquainted with amazement this morning. Either way, we have to answer the question, am I amazed? I pray that you are. An essential part of our worship should be awe. We should be amazed at our Lord and all the many things that he does for you, for me, and the world. He is no less awesome today than he was at creation, or in the lives of Abraham, or in Moses, or with Israel, when the Word became flesh and sacrificed his life and offered us a way of salvation. We need to continue to be amazed at God, at the mysteries of this universe, the wealth of information found in his Word. We need to continue to be curious about God and what he wants us to do in this life. Our God is an awesome God who loves us and challenges us to love him and our neighbor. I wonder how you and I can recapture that wonder and amazement of God and our Savior. It's probably different for each of us. But I believe that it begins with the study of Word, of God's Word, with meditation and prayer. In our songbook, and To God Be the Glory, says, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. He, and Albert Einstein once said, he who can no longer pause to wonder is as good as dead. Only when awe of God rules your heart can you embrace the spiritual side of man. The question is, are you standing in the awe of God? And I urge you to consider this. To consider, do you have that awe? Are you amazed at God? Do you have that reverence? And if you do not, if everything becomes normal and just kind of living your day to day and not thinking about the amazing things that God has provided you. Springtime is an amazing time. It shows us what God has given to us. The rebirth, the green trees, the birds, all these things. And I've often mentioned this, having lived in Arizona. At night, when the stars are out, and you can see the beauty of heaven, all the stars out there, it truly makes you humble, insignificant, and in awe of our God, our Creator. Think of these things as we stand and sing.